Trista Crick going to join us actually right now.
Hey, hey.
TK live from
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. Portland, all right. Oregon. She just finds different places to join us from. TK, you're going to hate the conversation we're having right now. Hate.
What is it?
Zach LaVine went for 43 last night. TK wants to leave.
Well, look, can I ask her, because I spoke on your behalf the other day when it comes to Zach LaVine, and now you have an opportunity to speak for yourself. You know who. You know ball. I think you look at Zach LaVine, and when you say you don't like him, I don't think you're talking about his talent level. Like, I just laid out, there might not be 20 guys physically that can do what he does in the league. It's not talent. It's trusting him as an individual that turns you off from Zach LaVine. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, Zach LaVine's very skilled. I would never say, oh, I don't like what he has in his toolbox. His toolbox has never really been the issue. He's got pretty much every tool in there except for what to me is one of the greatest tools a basketball player can have, which is, you know, good decision making and a high basketball IQ. Now, that's a great game for Zach LaVine. And I think the thing that you have to mention is this is a playoff team that the Kings beat.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, that's you got the win, most importantly. I don't care if Zach LaVine gets 50 points in a loss against a bottom feeder team or a win against a bottom feeder team. It's playing a team that likes to find you in the middle of the dark alley with a sock full of pennies or marbles in the Detroit Pistons, and that's who they are.
That's dark. That is a dark analogy.
That's
yeah,
Detroit Pistons right yeah. there. That's who they are. They're the kind of, they're gully, you know. And so
gully,
they are. And so to me, the Pistons getting a win against the Pistons, no matter how it shakes out, is impressive. And to do it with that stat line, is 8 for 11 from three, is incredible. Of 16 for 28, also efficient as hell. So, yeah, I mean, we love to see that. I want to see Zach LaVine do that on a consistent basis. But that game alone, yes, absolutely. Give him his flowers. Deserves it on all accounts. Really nothing you can say.
Well, it's negative. I think the, you know, beating Detroit is fantastic. It's even more fantastic when it's the night after you go for 37 and you beat Cleveland for the second time this year. And I think we asked ourselves yesterday going into that game, because it was like, oh, it's great they beat Cleveland. Boy, it would be really amazing if they beat Detroit. We don't really think that's going to happen. We've seen too many of these second night letdowns. But now, you know, the postseason and the next three games not mattering fall in the hands of our Dubs. Our Dubs take care of Phoenix tonight, and it's a wrap. And the Kings are locked into the 10th spot. But to follow that 37-point performance with a performance that was even better, like very literally the next night, man, that puts that game for Zach LaVine and really the Sacramento Kings in general in an even, you know, kind of higher echelon.
And we didn't even mention this because it also needs to be mentioned, is it's on the road. You're talking about two hostile environments. Mm-hmm. Cleveland's a very tough place to play. Those fans really care. That's one of the best environments that I've been to in a finals ever in my life. They're awesome. Detroit, one of my favorite environments. I don't know why more people don't talk about Little Caesars Arena. That's an awesome environment.
Yeah,
it could have been fuller last night. It could have been fuller.
Definitely. Definitely. I saw the only game that I've seen there live was Pistons versus Warriors. And it was packed out. And the way that they've designed that arena is incredible. They've got this like little seating area, kind of like the Aces have in their arena in Michelob, where you've got couches and tables and like little booths where you can eat baseline. I think that's really cool. There's a huge candy machine. The environment's really cool. And the fans, like you said, probably could have been there in a higher volume, but the environment itself is pretty great.
But I will say this, Trista, and this is what I said when I asked you about Zach LaVine. Your point still stands, though. Like, you just don't know what Zach LaVine you're going to get from night to night, and that's the frustrating thing about it. I see it. I understand it. I still like him a little bit more maybe than you do, but I get it. Like, if he, we've been talking about the level of aggression, you know, is FGAs, you know what I mean? Like some night he'll have 9, they'll have 28 the next night. And it's like, if he came and had this epiphany and said, man, I promise everybody I'm going to shoot at least 18 times a night, I don't think anybody would have any problem with Zach LaVine no more. But you just don't know what Zach you're getting from night to night. And that is frustrating. I understand that.
Yeah, you look at the Magic game on the 29th. He only took 8 shots and had 10 points. Only played 29 minutes, but still. And then you juxtapose that with, you know, 21 shots against the Cavs, 28 shots against the Pistons. And you're like, that's more like it. We need – and if you're the Kings and if you're a Kings fan – you need somebody who you can say that is our primary scorer on this team on a night-to-night basis. Yes, is it great that a team like the Pacers, anybody can get you 25 on any given night? Absolutely. Is that something that you want if you're a Kings fan? Sure. But you also want to feel steady and solid in that there's one guy that we know is going to shoot this amount of times per game, and he's our primary option, our primary scorer. And Zach LaVine is plenty skilled enough to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of whether he is comfortable doing that on a night-to-night basis. And I hope that I really hope I'm wrong about him. I really do, for you guys' sake.
Up next for the Sacramento Kings, David Adelman and the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, man.
Your thoughts on the news that your buddy Sham Sharania broke today, that Michael Malone and Calvin Booth, the general manager of the Denver Nuggets, are out effective immediately?
I don't get it. I get Calvin Booth being gone. I think I'm the front of the line trying to get rid of Calvin Booth.
I thought about you when I saw that. I was like, well, Trista was right. Trista's always told me he sucks, so I understand it.
He's awful. And he's always sweating. You can tell he's just not ready. Oh, man. He's always.
Leave the brother's perspiration habits alone.
So I've been calling for Calvin Booth to get the axe since they let Bruce Brown and Jeff Green go. And then the KCP, and then just some of the moves that didn't get made and the draft selections. And just kind of his rationale for everything that he did or did not do, what he said about Bruce Brown, about Jeff Green. Basically, we can have any of these guys on the end of our bench do exactly what these guys have done. Mm. So I didn't like him at all. I don't like his perspective. I don't like his decision-making. And I think he basically ate off of what Tim Connelly did. Mm. Tim Connelly, obviously the Timberwolves president of basketball operations now. He is who drafted Jokic. He is who went out and made the trade for Aaron Gordon. He is who did pretty much everything that got the Nuggets their championship. But also we know that one person or one team gets the ingredients and the other person and their staff cook the ingredients. And the meals that got us the championship were done by executive chef Michael Malone. Please say the Michael. So to me, it feels like some inner office squabbling I'm somewhat of a single or an only child. I have two sisters that are 9 and 10 years older. But I imagine if there's kids who are around the same age, they're like, oh, he did it. No, he did it. It's like, well, you guys are both grounded. That's basically what it felt like. It was like, I can't decipher. You say you hate Michael Malone, because that's what the chatter is. Michael Malone didn't like Calvin Booth. Fair. Calvin Booth didn't like Michael Malone. So they're going to ownership, complaining about one another all the time, fighting all the time, smack-talking each other behind each other's backs, knifing each other. And the ownership basically said, okay, well, we'll just fire both of you. That is a mistake, in my opinion, especially this is a team that's in the 4 seed, 1.5 games out of the 3 seed, 3 games left in the season. To do this now feels insane. So that's part one. But part two is we need to start holding these owners accountable. When they win a title, mm-hmm. Stan Kroenke, and whatever the hell his son's name is that's also running the team. I want to say it's like David. I don't know. Whatever his bitch-ass name is.
Man.
You have a responsibility to pay the guap to run it back. That's what you have to do. If you're not willing to do what it takes, sell the damn team. Whit Grusbeck, I think he saw the current owner of the Boston Celtics, saw the writing on the wall where he's going to have to pay $500 million or whatever it is every year in salary. He said, you know what? I got my title. Awesome news. The buck passes to this other dude that's now going to – I'm going to sell the team for $6 billion and now I'm going to ride off into the sunset. The Gronkies always do this. They go all in. They win a chip. And then they get cheap again. They did it with the Rams. They went all in. Now we don't know really what they're doing. I think he did that with soccer as well. I'm not up as much on what he's up to on the soccer game. But this is what's happening with the Denver Nuggets as well. If I'm Jokic, I'm absolutely pissed. Just, I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't have faith in this organization to make the right decision at all. And I know that we can't win with just me and Jamal. As good as we are, we need some depth. And they don't have any. And now I'm wondering what we're looking at in the offseason, who the potential hire could be, what the plan is, because they came out and said we're hoping to win a 2025 championship. How is firing the guy that got you a championship getting you any closer to that goal in this playoff situation? I don't know. As you can tell, I'm stunned.
Everybody's stunned. It's crazy that you would do this in general. Like, I don't think, we've talked about, I've taken little shots at Michael Malone or whatever, but the guy's a great coach. He's an absolute great coach, and whatever you're trying to do, whether you're trying to contend or even if you want to rebuild, you need to have Michael Malone there for that. So that in general is crazy, but the fact that you do this a week before the playoffs start is just loony. Like, that's just like, talk about a press conference. I do need to hear from Kroenke in this situation.
Oh,
if I'm
wow.
a Nuggets fan.
Now all of a sudden,
no,
Kenny wants a press conference.
No, if I'm a Nuggets
wow.
fan, I need to hear
Kenny,
from him.
Kenny, what's it matter? What's it change, Kenny? What's it change?
I need to know. I need to know what you're doing.
Well, how the turntables
are. A week before the playoffs? Oh, yeah, no, you got to answer to me. You got to answer to me.
We need answers.
But you're right. It doesn't change anything. But, yeah, it's just crazy, man. It's just crazy that the timing of it all as well.
I thought Shams was legitimately hacked.
For the second time this year.
Man, Shams is having a rough year if that's a that's the case.
I wish he had
followed it up. No, this is real.
Yeah, right.
I have not been hacked. I clicked his profile just to make sure it wasn't the fake Shams Charania.
Mm. Well, that's the funny part. That those are the funny things that we do. We get alerts from one account. One, the real Shams Charania. That's what sends the push notification. We're not scrolling the timeline and getting fooled.
Right.
You get a push notification from one single account, and it's Shams. But every time the news is so unbelievable, you click it and then make sure. No, that's him. Nope. Luka's a Laker. No, Michael Malone is fired.
Crazy.
And this has been my point all day. Trista comes out and talks about Michael Malone and Calvin Booth and how everybody may feel about that, how the organization may feel about that. And say it again. Shut the hell up. Make sure your house is clean before you start talking about other people's houses. Michael Malone couldn't wait to talk when Mike Brown was fired. He couldn't wait to tell everyone that the Sacramento Kings had no class and no balls and how this is going to be such a great moment for Mike Brown. Bro, make your bed, vacuum your carpet, and push the dishes away because your house is a mess. And we found that out today.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't have said anything, considering that Sweaty Booth over there
man
was playing Littlefinger in the background trying to orchestrate a coup.
Littlefinger is a Game of Thrones reference. I only know that because James Hamm taught me that.
I've heard it. I've heard the reference.
From James Hamm.
I guess, sure. Yeah, probably so. Jazz watches Game of Thrones, but I don't think she's ever talked about it.
I tried to watch it once, confused the hell out of me. I did not know what was going on. Are you a Game of Thrones fan, or do you just know the reference?
I watched every season. Mm. I watched the prequel.
Oh.
Both seasons of those. So I'm eight.
Well, that sounds like a fan.
You locked in. You tapped in.
I'm nine seasons in, so I think I'm a fan. Yeah, I'd say I'm a fan. I'm multifaceted. I like Game of Thrones. I like Snowfall.
Yeah. That's all good.
It's all good.
Did you watch White Lotus?
I watched White Lotus.
White Lotus is fire.
I haven't. Everybody talks about how great it is.
Good show.
Yeah.
Ended this weekend. Good show.
Did the other thing about what Damien said about Michael Malone making sure your house is clean before you talk about others? Even if your house is clean, their house ain't got nothing to do with my house, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. That's not none of my business. They ask you the question. Now, you can't keep somebody from asking you a question. But they ask you a question at the press conference. Hey, what's your thought on Mike Brown firing? Or if Doug Christie gets asked tomorrow, hey, what's your thought on Mike? You know what? It's none of my business. It's none of my business. Game. I wish him the best in his future endeavors. That's none of my business. I'm not in that place.
I just hope people. Trista just laid out everything with Calvin Booth and Michael Malone. I sure hope other people do that. Because y'all had the conversation surrounding Mike Brown's firing and Taylor Jenkins firing were very, very different. Mm-hmm. You fired Michael Malone when this team was 13 and 18 and y'all were confused. Y'all were mad.
Mad. Big mad.
Y'all fired Taylor Jenkins when they're in like the 3 seed. They've plummeted ever since. And you're like, gosh, why would they do such a thing? I don't understand. All right.
Big mad. Have right, a lot man. To say about it.
All right, man. So weird. It's a weird game, TK.
It is. And I think context, organizational context matters. I do want to say congratulations to my GM, Joe Cronin, on the day before Black Tuesday. We got a little extension here for Joe Cronin. Good so I'm happy to say he'll be there for the long term. And I think he's been doing, all things considered, a phenomenal job. Yeah, Portland Trailblazers GM, Joe Cronin.
Who's the guy? Who's the person? Let me ask you something real quick about Portland, because I was thinking about this. Who are you building around? Like who?
Denny.
Who? Okay.
Denny.
So, all right. So, okay. So let's say you the I hate saying it. The big three. Scoot, Denny, Klingon, or Shaden?
I think it's really fascinating when you, and I know this is like a very niche topic, but hopefully the Chatty House can appreciate just like how much the rebuild can feel good and how much a rebuild can feel bad. The thing that I feel good about this particular rebuild is there's a lot of good players. This team has... No, really, there's no scrubs. There's no Rudy Fernandez, no shade to Rudy Fernandez, or Mario Hanzonia, or guys like Evan Turner. There's been a lot of years as a Portland fan where you're what Myers Leonard, Zach, what was his name? Zach from Gonzaga. Zach Collins, one leg from Gonzaga. When we could have gotten John Collins, we could have gotten so many other Donovan Mitchell, excuse me. So there's been a lot of times where this team has had players that you wonder why they're on the team and what is the identity? How do they fit in? Why did we select them? Why did we trade for them? Why did we pay Evan Turner this much money? Alan Crabb, why did we pay him? Almost everyone on this Blazers roster, you know why they're there. They're either cheap and super athletic. They're either on a contract that is helps you move them around for more money. They were there because Dame wanted them there, which is only one player, Jeremy Grant. Dame basically forced Portland into paying him. And then like 2 days later, maybe less, said, yeah, I'm out of here. Trade me. Or they're a player that you've thought, you know, highly of where you can build around them. And there's a lot of good players. Rob Williams is a player that has some injury issues, but when he's healthy, he can jump out of the gym and is an awesome center.
Yeah, you've got a lot of injury issues, though. A
lot of injury issues, but you can maybe get a first-round pick for him. There's a lot of teams. Yeah.
Really?
They've been offered. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that need a center like him. I mean, you saw what it was even with Mark Williams in Charlotte. And I know he didn't, quote-unquote, pass his physical, but they were bending over backwards for Mark Williams, and Rob Williams is much better. You've got guys like Ayton who you just needed to try to get that Dame trade done to make the money work, right? Everything makes sense. To me, Denny, probably Shaden, and Tumani are the guys that you're really super excited about. Oh, and yeah? You could maybe say that could be, yeah, but I don't, I mean, there's that, maybe yes, maybe it's four guys. I don't think in this draft you say, oh, there's a hole on this roster that we need to fill. There's plenty of guys that I think as they develop and build, like Houston did, Houston almost has too many good players where they need to get rid of them and sort of get them into like package them into players who are veterans or, you know what I mean? Like to take them to the next level. That's what I see Portland is doing, acquiring a lot of athletic, long, bouncy, skilled guys. And seeing who comes, what comes out of that. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of good players. But I think Denny at 6'9", and what you're seeing from him, I did a deep dive on him that you can see on Instagram a couple of days ago. And then that same day, he went off for 37. Mm-hmm. I think he's averaging 24, 10, and 6 since the All-Star break.
Mm. When does their future start?
I think it kind of started now.
Okay.
This year, this is a team that we thought was going to win maybe 18 to 22 games, and they were flirting with the play-in until 2 days ago.
Yeah,
this is a team that's certainly in a better spot than, say, Phoenix, and Phoenix thought they were a contender. So I think we are where Houston was 2 years ago.
Mm. Okay.
You know, you've got young pieces. You have to see how that shakes out. And what you need. And you could F around and be like Atlanta and end up with Cooper Flagg. Get the number one pick in the draft. Anything's possible. But I don't even know who Portland would draft, essentially. I don't know who they need to step in right now and who that person would supplant.
Would you Chauncey your coach? Sorry.
Oh, my bad. No, go ahead.
Sorry.
Doesn't appear so.
I didn't think
Doesn't
so.
Doesn't appear so.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I like Chauncey, though. I think he's done a good job. I was not Team Chauncey until this year. This is the top three defensive rating team since the All-Star break as well, playing awesome defense. Just really good at becoming pesky and getting into the passing lanes and making everything difficult. Good team defense. Like I said, there's an identity. It doesn't sound like from everyone that I talk to that's really close to the organization that he will be back. Maybe it's a Michael Malone. Maybe it's a Taylor Jenkins. There's a couple of coaching vacancies that I wouldn't hate Portland at least exploring.
The guy makes a little bit too much money than I'm probably would want. And he's a little bit too much of a shoot first point guard than I probably want. But what y'all want for Anthony Simons?
Oh, he's got to get out of here. He's stunting the growth of Scoot. He's stunting the growth of the team, I think, in general. I mean, you need probably a first-round pick for him.
Come on, man.
How many players y'all got worth the first-round pick?
What is he averaging?
Yeah, he's a good ball player. But look, all right, how about we give you...
He's averaging 20 points a game. His three-point shooting numbers are down this year. 20 points a game score. What do you get for a 20-point a game score?
I don't know, but I just realized you might finish with a better record than Phoenix, and that's incredible.
Damn.
That's what I'm trying
That's
to
incredible.
Say.
The Suns are 35 and 43. The Blazers are 35 and 44.
Mm.
And we have our own draft pick.
And the Suns have Bradley Beal. That was a shot. I like Brad. That was me.
Everybody just catching strays today.
We
gotta
go. That's my bad.
My goodness. My bad.
We love you, TK.
We'll love you back. Talk to y'all soon.
Oh, right, she was about to fire something off. You want to fire it off real quick?
I was just gonna say that I think we play our dubs to end the season.
Oh, Portland does? No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Either that or Lakers.
Well, we just need our dubs to take care of business tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Take care of business tomorrow.
Tonight.
Is it tonight?
Tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, take care of it tonight then. Yeah. All right.
You look phenomenal. Love the spring colors.
Thanks, TK. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
I'm for real. See you later.
Okay.